He said, "Son, they spit in my face too." The boy said that he just wept. And he said, "Thank you, Lord." And he saw that he was counted worthy to suffer a like thing that Jesus had suffered. He made his comparison to the cross. Take up your cross daily. Jesus said, "If any man does not take up his cross daily and follow me, he cannot be my disciple." A disciple is a learner of Jesus. As you take up your cross and make your comparisons to the cross, you are at that moment a learner of Jesus. And you can lift up your head and you can say, "I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what it means, a learner. Lowliness of mind. It said, "Let each esteem other better than themselves." Now the latter part of this passage, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." This is another area that seducing spirits can attack you on. If you just look on your own things, when somebody borrows your stuff, and then they don't clean it up and they bring it back, and you don't like it, you're looking on your own things. See, that's what you're doing. You're looking on your own things. Really, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." If you borrow something from somebody, and you clean it up better before you take it back than you would have had it been yours, you are looking on the other man's things instead of looking on your own things. If you take better care of somebody else's stuff than you would your own, then you're looking on the other man's things instead of your own. And you know what? Seducing spirits can attack you on this thing. But if you don't, if somebody borrows something, and then to them it looked dirtier whenever they got it. It looked awful bad when they got it, see? But then whenever they brought it back and it looked dirty, and you were looking on your own things, I'll tell you what the scripture says. Let every man take joyfully the spoiling of his goods. Huh? Take joyfully the spoiling of his goods. You know, if you take joyfully the spoiling of your goods, seducing spirits can't attack you on how somebody took care of your stuff. I'll tell you what. We've got very precious people in Africa, but they haven't had the experience of handling things like we have. And sometimes they'll pick up something that's glass, and it looks like stone to them, so they drop it to see if it's going to break. And sure enough, it breaks. And you know, sometimes we've thought that everything they touch goes to pieces. And one time I was in another country, and they have, in all of the African airlines, at that time they had white pilots. So they were having some African co-pilots, and they hadn't really learned to handle things yet. And you know, it's nothing against them. The precious people just hadn't had any experience. And when they drive cars, they tear them up. And whenever they drive trucks, they run them into bridges and tear them up. And so, you know, everybody was fearing when these guys started driving airplanes. And so there was co-pilots, but now the pilot never left them out of his sight, you know. So one day I was going on this plane, and some of the people had boarded the plane, and there were some people that were yet off the plane, and so they opened up the pilot's window, and they were taking a picture with a telephoto lens of this pilot, and they had this African co-pilot sitting in the pilot's seat. And so they took the picture of him, and somebody, as they went into the plane, they told them on the plane, and all of the people come scrambling off that plane. They just didn't want to be on that plane, and so they assured him, "Oh, we're just taking a picture of it this way. We're just making it look like this, but really he's not going to be piloting the plane." So back on the plane they go. Look not every man on his own things. There were some folks there that was looking on their own things, see? but every man also on the things of others. There were some folks there that was looking on the things of others and seeing that others couldn't handle airplanes. Okay, then it says, now get this, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now I tell you what, there's more depths in here than you can ever get out. But now, as your mind is now opened up, and your mind will not be deceived anymore in these ways that you had been deceived by the thoughts in times past, when your mind is no longer deceived, you have the mind of Christ. You can think like Jesus thought, because Jesus could see these seducing spirits. He did not receive thoughts from them. He did not blame himself. See? Did not the tempter come to Jesus and put the thought in his mind? He did when he spoke it into his ear. The thought in the mind is not sin. That's an evident fact. Jesus received the thought in his mind, but he did not accept it to store it. He rejected it. He said, it is written. One time he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Another time he said, it is written. He answered with, it is written. Let this mind be in you. Oh, look at that word, let. Allow this mind to be in you. All you have to do is just allow the Holy Spirit to get this mind in you that was in Jesus. Just allow the Holy Spirit to work with you, and you have the mind of Christ. But these seducing spirits, they'll try to keep your mind from being like the mind of Christ. Now, this is kind of a key, too. You know what? Seducing spirits know that if they cannot put their thoughts in your mind and deceive you, that you have the mind of Christ, and just look at how you're going to be thinking. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Just think how you're going to be thinking if they don't put the thoughts in your mind. You can see why they're attacking your mind, can't you? See? The mind of Christ. Do you know, you don't have any idea what power you have. It's impossible for us to grasp the greatness of his power. The Greek word for power is the word that's translated into English as dynamite. Dynamite. A powerful, explosive thing. The thought process and the power of the thought. Jesus said it like this. He said that if you say for this mountain to be removed and cast into the sea and you don't doubt about it, he says that it'll be done. One time Jesus come walking by a fig tree, and there was no figs upon the tree. And Jesus looked upon that tree, and he said, let there be no figs grow henceforth forever. And the disciples came back by that tree, and lo and behold, that tree had withered up. The mind of Christ. Let it be, and it was. He was in the creation. He said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, in Africa, there's among the people, they don't understand individual property rights. So a guy would plant something on somebody else's property, and he'd think because he planted it, it was his. So I had the hardest time teaching the Christians about this. They would plant a tree on somebody else's property, and they just say every once in a while, they say, well, I planted that tree, it's mine. Well, now, I would tell them, no, look, now this property, it belongs to another Christian, so really the property is not yours, and so the tree is not yours, you know. And you really don't even have the right to plant your tree on their property, because, see, your tree is taking the good things out of their ground and growing, and so therefore it's stealing from somebody else's ground. And so you don't have the right. And I was trying to teach them individual property rights, because in Africa, they have in the village communal living. And the communal living really doesn't work. And this is why communism hasn't ever gotten a hold in Africa, because the communal living doesn't work in the village, and it doesn't work whenever they bring communism in there. It just doesn't work. Selfishness does not succeed, see? And when people live together in selfishness, communal living just does not succeed. But now, The Word of God has to break down the communal living barriers, and the communal living thing is that everything belongs to everybody. That's the communal living thing. And in other words, when somebody sins, everybody sins. Everybody's wrong. It's all a communal affair, see? Instead of the individual being responsible for his own sins, as the Word of God says it. The more heathen your nation gets here, the more that collective guilt thing is, where they say, oh, we're all wrong. See? No. God says individuals have individual responsibility. So this person was talking about his tree. He planted this tree. It was his own tree. And it really got to be very offensive. And you know, I thought over a long period of time that this was really, it was really an offense to the other person, because it wasn't his tree, see? It was the other person's tree. All right, so now this got to be a real offense. And so one day, I came by that tree. And the tree was little and it was stunted. And there was a couple of oranges on the tree. It was an orange tree. And there was a couple of little stunted oranges on that tree. And I stopped and I looked at that little stunted tree with the oranges on it. And I thought, you know, that tree is not bearing much fruit. And the fruit wouldn't be any good. And I thought, you know, this tree, there's been a lot of offenses about this tree. Because the one person always saying he had planted it, you know, and this was his tree. And I thought, I wonder if that tree that Jesus looked at that time, where it didn't have any figs on it, I wondered if there was some offense about that tree, if somebody claimed it and somebody else claimed it, or if there was some offense about that tree. And so I looked and I thought, well now, you know, I can see why that somebody would wish that that tree just didn't even cumber the ground. Why that it wasn't there. I can see how somebody would wish that. And I could see how Jesus could say about that tree, it was that there be henceforth no figs growing on that tree forever, and it dried up. I could see why Jesus would rather that that tree would just dry up. And so, you know, I kind of got new light on that tree, that fig tree that withered. And so, the next day after this, I walked back by that tree, and lo and behold, that tree had withered. And I went and got my wife, and I told her what happened. I said, honey, come out. It's unbelievable. This tree is actually withered. And I told her what happened, the thoughts that I'd had concerning it and everything. And so we walked over to the tree, and my wife and I are now looking at that little tree, and I took a hold of it. And it just came off. It was rotted, but it was dry. It was just like dry rot, right at the root. And my wife said, the scripture says it dried up from the roots. And I hadn't remembered reading that. You know, when you can see what the Word of God says. Now I was astonished at this. We've seen other things take place that have absolutely astonished us in Africa. And we do not know what power that there is in thinking for good. And we don't know how much destruction that there is and how much it takes away from our power when we're caught away and our time is taken up thinking for evil. Jesus said, greater things than these shall ye do. You know why? That you would be able to accomplish greater things is because Christ went back to heaven. He was just one, and when he sent his spirit back then, his spirit can be in many of you, and Jesus Christ can live his life on this earth now through you. Tremendous opportunities are available, aren't they? For the Lord Jesus Christ to live his life on this earth through us. Well, it says in the latter part of this verse, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. In Romans 7, 24-25, Paul was writing, and that chapter 7 is difficult for people to understand. And if you understand that Paul was talking about a mind experience, you'll understand the whole chapter. And so Paul was talking about, the attack on the mind. And he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, deliverance is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he said, so then, With the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know, with your mind, you can serve the law of God. But if seducing spirits attack your mind, that will cause the flesh to serve the law of sin. See? The law of mind, the law of God, being served with the mind. Okay, now the next one is 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now notice what it says, believe not every spirit. Now that's talking about evil spirits again. And it says, but try the spirits. This is what we have been doing. During this session last night and tonight, we have been trying evil spirits with the Word of God, and we've been finding out what their work is and that they are evil and how they can attack. And it says, try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now notice, the false prophets here are the evil spirits. They are called false prophets. But now, men who are also deceived by these evil spirits become false prophets, see? They'll prophesy something and it's false, see? Okay, now, in that same passage, now I'm going to follow that up with by looking at in 1 John 4:2. We don't have the scripture written out here, so I'm going to turn in my Bible. And if you have your Bible and you'd like to turn and look with me, you can. I neglected to tell the people, but now on our for the sisters, and we need to get all this information around, that every sister, tomorrow is Thursday morning, right? Is that sister's morning? Ladies first? Everybody needs to bring your Bible, because I don't have the husband and wife scriptures written out on a paper. We will be looking at them in the Bible. But now in the Bible, in 1 John 4:1, that's the verse we just read. Now we read verse 2. It says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, there's a tremendous key in this verse. We have also tested demon-possessed people in Africa by this test. You can ask a person that's demon-possessed if they will confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And that's terribly offensive to evil spirits. And the evil spirit will scream out, no, never. The reason why it's so offensive is that Jesus came to this earth and he was able to possess human flesh. It was lawful for him to possess human flesh. He had a human body. How the fallen angels must hate Jesus, because you see, they're the exact opposite of Jesus. And when Jesus came to this earth, he was going to be able to go back, but they're not, because they sinned. They're contaminated, and so they couldn't go back. But you know what? Jesus came to this earth, he could possess flesh, they couldn't. Jesus even took sins upon him, and then later on went back, and they can't. They sinned once and were cast out of heaven, and they'll forever be lost. And Jesus came to this earth, and all of the people that were forever lost and always sinning, Jesus died once for them, and they can all go to heaven forever without sin. Astonishing, isn't it? The parallel there? Between the difference between good and evil. And so Jesus came to live in the flesh. He was successful and he went back to heaven. All right. Now, any spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. But the seducing spirits, that's very offensive to them. They do not want to confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. They can confess that Jesus is the Son of God. They did that in the Bible, didn't they? The spirits that spoke out of the demon-possessed people. And then in verse 3 it says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. All right, the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit against Christ. Okay, we have been trying the spirits not of demon-possessed people, but we have been trying the spirits that would influence people. Now, the next scripture on our list is the last one on this page, which is talking about the man that was called Legion. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You remember, this is the man that lived among the tombs. And Jesus cast the evil spirits out of that man, the evil spirits asked leave to go into the pig, a herd of swine there. And whenever Jesus gave them leave, those evil spirits went into those pigs, and there was 2,000 pigs that was drowned. Now, how many evil spirits was in that man, I don't know, but it was enough to drown 2,000 pigs. And the man said his name was Legion, and I want you to notice that when Jesus asked him his name, that's significant. That's why that we have been seeing the names, because you can see their activities by the name that they have. And this man that was possessed of all of these demons, whenever Jesus cast them out, this man was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. That was his characteristics. And it says, and they were afraid. The people saw him and they were afraid. Did you know what? This is seducing spirit activity upon the people. They were afraid when somebody had been cleansed of demons. It was a spirit of fear that attacked those people, trying to make them not like this. And you see, why shouldn't they have just dearly loved what happened? Because this man had been gone away from home a long time, and he wanted to follow Jesus even after he was cleansed. And Jesus said, no, go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. Well, now, that man was told by the Lord to go home. He hadn't been at home for a long time. He'd been living out there in a cemetery, and he'd been dangerous. People were afraid of him. And what a wonderful thing now that a man is sitting and clothed in his right mind, he's going to go back home to his family. A family going to be reunited together by the Lord. Wonderful thing. Spirit of fear attacked them right then and made them afraid. And you know what? These scriptures that I've shared with you, you can take these scriptures if you know somebody who's having problems, a Christian who's having problems. You can take these scriptures and you can sit down with them and you can read through these things with them. Or you can order the tapes later and you can play the tapes to them. And if they have any questions, you can answer their questions about what you think about it. And you can share these things with other people. But you know what'll happen? A spirit of fear will try to make you afraid so that you won't share these with other people. Did you know when I first saw through these things, I could share them with one person at a time, but I was afraid if I shared them with two or more people, the devil might even take advantage and I would have trouble. And then finally, I found out I could share them with half a dozen. And then finally, I have shared them with as many as 300 people in a congregation, and I've seen everybody get help from them, everybody that was there. Certain amount of help, maybe some get more help than others, but God can help anybody with his word. But you know what? An attack of the spirit of fear will cause you to fear giving these scriptures to somebody. Not only do you need to give them to somebody, but you need to sit down and reread them for yourself. Read them over and over. And every time that you read them over, ask the Lord to renew your mind and to open your eyes to see new things in these things. And you will see these things going on around you, and you will have tremendous protection. And you know what? If you do not apply the Word of God to your own life first, you can't apply it to anybody else's life. If the Word of God does not help you in your life, you can't help anybody else with it. Okay, we turn now to the last page. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, I don't know what you think about the book of Revelation. And I don't know how you interpret it, and I don't know what your belief is concerning the millennium, whether there'll be one or whether there won't be one, but that's beside the point. Regardless of how you interpret the book of Revelation, I want you to know that the Word of God says that he saw unclean spirits. And he said that they were spirits of devils, and he said that they were working miracles. Now, if you don't see anything more than this, that when a seducing spirit can put a thought in your mind and make you believe that you're bad because of it, and that's your thinking, that's a miracle in itself. You see? So if you don't understand any more about it than that kind of a miracle, that's a miracle. Because can you put your thought in somebody else's mind and make them think that they're bad because of it? That's a miraculous event, isn't it? And you know what? That's miraculous enough that you'll find if you don't tell people the whole story here, if you don't give them all of these scriptures and explain it to them, you're going to find that they're not going to believe that this takes place. Okay? Now, it says that these are they which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The book of Revelation shows you, basically it shows you this, and I think that everybody, regardless of what they believe about the interpretation of Revelation, can agree on it, that the book of Revelation shows you the warfare that's going on between God and the devil. And it shows you that God is going to win the warfare. Wonderful, it's already signed, sealed, and delivered. God is going to be the winner, and the battle is going to get greater, it appears, and it is now getting greater, and it appears that it's culminating. That's the way it appears. And it's the spirits of devils working miracles right up until the last, you see. And God wants you to see it. He wants you to see through this thing to where that you not be trapped in the thing and you not be caught on the wrong side. But not only that, but that you can even be able to see clearly to help others on the right side. Now, in Hebrews 2:15, the next verse, it says, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." People in the world are subject to bondage through fear of death. All right, now, under the next section on the names of the spirits, there's just some of the names of the spirits that are listed in here. You can complete this list. It's an incomplete list. There's the spirit of error, which is not on here. There's a spirit of Antichrist, which is not on here. There's a spirit of rebellion, which is not on here. There's wicked spirit, which is not on here. There's a lot of names of evil spirits that are not on this list. But as you read the Word of God, you'll see others of the names. But I want you to see the one that's down on the end of the list on the first side, which is called spirit of infirmity. Luke 13:11. We won't turn there and look at it, but it was where that this woman was healed. She was bowed over all of her life, and when she was healed and she straightened up, that she was healed, it was a spirit of infirmity that kept her this way. Now, in one of our mission retreat meetings, all of the missionaries from several different countries gathered together. We discussed how that the seducing spirits were attacking differently in Africa, in Brazil, in India, in the various countries. And there was a medical doctor who was also a missionary, and he was head of a graduate school of missions, one of the outstanding Bible colleges in the United States. He was head of their graduate school, and he had been a missionary doctor, medical doctor, on many fields. This doctor said in that meeting when he was speaking to us on this subject that every medical doctor who's a Christian recognizes that in a hospital, people who are in the hospital, elderly people, they'll be sick, but it won't really be anything drastic. But yet, they'll be sick and in the hospital, and the thought will continually enter their mind that they're too sick and that they're not going to get well. They're going to die. And he said that actually, if the doctor can convince them that they're going to live, they'll go ahead and take their medicine and eat their food and they'll live. But if they're convinced by these thoughts that they're going to die, they actually lose the will to live, and they can actually quit taking their medicine, quit taking their food, and they'll waste away and die. And this doctor, this medical doctor, said, this is the spirit of infirmity that puts those thoughts in people's minds. Now, that's common to all of us, isn't it? Haven't all of us been sick with the flu? You just get this real bad flu, and you get down real bad, and you just feel, you're just sure you're not going to live, don't you? You're just sure you're going to die. And this thought will come to your mind several times. And then later on, you finally get over it, and you go ahead and live, see? Well, the spirit of infirmity does that. Now, down in the next section now is the list under the mind. This is the action on the mind. All of these scriptures that we have read, it shows you the action on the mind. It says seduced mind, renewed mind, captive mind, corrupted mind, renewed mind, sound mind, clean mind, blinded mind, and so forth. I want you to see kept mind. Now that's Isaiah 26 and 3, and we don't have that written out here. It says that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. That's talking about the person whose mind is stayed on the Lord will be kept in perfect peace. This is how you can be kept in perfect peace. Your mind now can be stayed on the Lord, and it does not have to be stayed on the evil and seducing spirits, you see? And so there is perfect peace that's available to you. Now, in Hebrews 5:14, which is at the head of the list on this other one, this scripture says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, which by reason of use, their person's mind is exercised to discern both good and evil. Your senses, whereby your senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, we have been exercising your senses to discern both good and evil. Let me give you an insight here about your status, like your Garden of Eden status. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve knew good, but they could be deceived of evil. That was their original status in the Garden of Eden. They knew good, but they could be deceived by evil. So they were deceived by evil, and they fell. Now then, this is the fall. People know evil in the fall. And you kind of lose track of good. All right, then here we were now. Before we were converted, we knew evil. And then when we were converted, we started recognizing good. All right, God had redeemed us, and we were put up to the place, the status of Garden of Eden status. Because here's your Garden of Eden status. You know good, but you can be deceived of evil. Now that's the Garden of Eden status, see? And since you can be deceived of evil, you have to have your senses exercised by the Word of God in order to be able to discern the evil, otherwise you'd be deceived continually by it. And so now it's the Word of God that shows us evil, but we naturally see good, see? And so here again is another way that our nature was changed. We naturally saw evil, and we couldn't naturally see good. But now we can naturally see good, but we can be deceived of evil, and we cannot naturally see evil. Now, we have to have the insight and the help of the Word of God to see evil. All right, now, you can study these things out. The list was given for you to study. And if you would like to, just however you want to study it on your own, you can. Let's turn back to the first page now, just before we close. We want to look at Romans 12:2, the second verse on the list, because we talked about the renewing of the mind, and those that were here last night, we prayed and asked the Lord to renew our mind. And now we would like for the Lord to give us a complete mind renewal. I stated earlier that it's like the computer. They designed the computer on the design of the mind, where that the computer could store thoughts. And so men program thoughts into a computer, and those thoughts do not belong to the computer first, but they're programmed into it. And then the computer can store the thoughts, and it can recall them back, and they can program other thoughts into the computer. And it is astonishing. If you would like a real good study sometime, study the computer vocabulary, and everything in computer vocabulary that they use, all the things that they talk about the computer, it can take place in the mind. And you can see the spiritual application. You can see a spiritual application that the mind is like the computer. It's an outstanding thing. And just as the computer can be erased, your mind can also be erased. That is, the Lord who knows how many hair there are in your head, and he knows he knows all things. He knows the thoughts that are stored into your mind. And so the thoughts that are God's thoughts, we do not want him to erase. And the thoughts that are your thoughts, we do not want him to erase. But the thoughts that are evil thoughts, the thoughts that came from evil, we want to give the Lord the right to erase all of those. And even though we do not know which thoughts were which, we have seen in the Word of God tonight some of them that were not our thoughts, haven't we? And we've seen it last night. All right, now then, we just need to just simply bow our heads and ask the Lord, give the Lord the right to renew our mind and to erase these things out of our mind. Our precious Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have of being here together tonight again in this last session of the Seducing Spirit Scriptures. Lord, we give you the right to erase evil things out of our mind that's been stored there. Lord, the things that were stored in our mind before we got saved, and then since that we've been saved, the evil thoughts that were brought back to our mind and restored in our mind, we give you the right to erase all of those. Any evil thoughts, Lord, we give you the right to erase those out of our mind, and may all of the cells of our mind be cleansed. And Lord, would you use these cells now in a new way to your glory, and may the word of God be stored. And Lord, we ask that we would be able to discern good and evil in a greater way. And Father, that we would be able to discern and to prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh Lord, we give you the right to just renew the cells. Father, if anyone is here right now that feels guilty of something that they haven't been forgiven for, Lord, we ask you for forgiveness for that also. And we ask you for cleansing. Father, if by chance there's one here that has not been converted, we pray, Lord, that you would cause them to receive Jesus Christ into their heart right now, and that their mind would be renewed. But Father, for those of us who have been converted, we pray, Lord, that you would just wash our mind with the blood of Jesus Christ, and might there be a total cleansing and a total erasure. And now, Lord, we pray that you would remind us from time to time to look at this list of things and to restudy this, and to give you the right to be continually cleansing us. We thank you, Lord, for these great things, for we know that you have done great things. And we thank you in the great name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.